Welcome to eMemory's 2020 second quarter webcast investor conference. Today with us, we have Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu, President Dr. Rick Shin, Vice President of Business Development and Spokesman, Mr. Michael Ho, Director, Ms. Li Jing Chen, and Director of Finance Department, Ms. Teresa Kuo. We will start off today's meeting by an opening remark given by our Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu. Next, our President Dr. Rick Shin will summarize our operations in the second quarter, followed by an outlook for the future. Dr. Hsu will provide a closing comment at the end. Following management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. Please feel free to submit your question in the input box on the webcast window throughout the conference. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded and the webcast replay will be available within 3 hours after the conference is finished. Please visit www.ememory.com.tw under the Investor Relations section. As usual, before we begin, we would like to remind everyone that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risk factors associated with semiconductor and IP business. Please refer to the cautionary statement as shown on page 3 of today's presentation. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to eMemory's chairman, Dr. Charles Hsu. Dr. Hsu, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you all are wealthy and doing well. In Q2 2020, we delivered a record high revenue. As mentioned in previous conference calls, we are poised to enter a multi-layer growth cycle with a strong set of tape-outs in the pipeline. Besides the continuous strength of 12-inch royalty, 8-inch royalty has gained momentum as 2 to 3 times PMIC content increase in 5G smartphone, as well as medical, online working, and entertainment-related demand. In addition, we are experiencing strong interest in particular for our security path-based technology due to security requirements for 5G, AI, automotive, and IoT. We are actively engaging with the leading companies for designing our new path into their security architectures and expect more design win for the rest of the year. Next, I would like to invite our president, Rick, to report our operating results of Q2 and the future outlook of our business. And afterward, I will elaborate more on our NeoPUF unique quantum tunneling mechanisms and why we believe we will be the winner of the security silicon IP provider. Thank you. Rick?
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rick. Thank you for attending eMemory's 2020 second quarter investor conference webcast. In today's presentation, I would like to report our operating results of 2020 Q2, followed by the status update of our technologies and the future outlook. To begin with, I would like to report our 2020 Q2 results. Q2 revenue was $423 million, an increase of 1.9% sequentially and 33.7% year over year. In terms of the US dollars, Q2 revenue was $14 million, a growth of 2% sequentially and 38.1% year over year. The operating expenses of Q2 was $227 million, up 2.7% sequentially and 21% year over year. Q2 operating income increased 1% sequentially and 52.3% year over year. The operating margin was 46.3%, a decrease of 0.4 percentage points sequentially, but increased 5.7 percentage points year over year. EPS of Q2 is $2.28, and the ROE at 41.9%. For the first half of 2020, the revenue was $839 million, up 17.9% year-over-year. The operating expenses increased 15.4%, and the operating margin was 46.5%, with an increase of 1.2 percentage points. EPS up 18.3% to 4.66 NT dollars, and the ROE gained 5.9 percentage points to 42.8%. In the following section, I will break down the revenue contribution by licensing and the royalty. Licensing from Q2 is 118 million NT dollars, accounted for 27.9% of the revenue, up 10.9% sequentially and 12.6% year over year. In terms of US dollars, licensing revenue is 4 million US dollars, up 11.6% sequentially and 17.2% year over year. Royalty contributed to 72.1% of the total revenue, is 305 million NT dollars, decreased 1.2% sequentially, but increased 44.1% year over year. In terms of US dollars, the royalty is 10 million US dollars, down 1.4% sequentially, but up 48.4% year over year. In the first half of 2020, the total revenue grew by 17.9% as compared to the previous year. Licensing and the royalty each has a growth of 6.6% and 22.6% respectively. In terms of US dollars, licensing and royalty grew by 10% and 26.2% respectively. If we break down the revenue by technologies, the results are as follows. Neobit accounted for 17.2% of the total licensing revenue of the second quarter, decreased 15.6% compared to previous quarter and 26.7% year over year. Its royalty accounted for 65.6% of the total royalty, increased 0.5% sequentially and 31% year over year. This was due to the contribution from PMIC DDI and TDDI. NeoFuse accounted for 71% of the total licensing revenue of the second quarter, up 12.3% sequentially and 27.6% year over year. Its royalty decreased 2.3% sequentially but increased 100.4% year over year. Because of the increasing contribution from 40 and 28 nanometer OLED DDI, DTV, and the networking applications, the royalty of NeoFuse contributed 31.5% of total royalty. Our PUF-based security IP contributed to 2.4% of licensing revenue in the second quarter. Although this technology has not contributed royalty yet, engagement with industrial leaders are still actively ongoing. As for MTP technology, licensing revenue increased 56.3% sequentially and 3.3% year over year. Royalty from MTP decreased 22.2% sequentially and 18.3% year over year. Our MTP team is still working with partners on developing MRAM, ReRAM, and AI memory. In the first half of 2020, for NeoBit, the licensing revenue decreased 6.9% year over year, but royalty increased 1.2%, accounting for 52.9% of total revenue. For NeoFuse, the licensing and the royalty revenue grew 21.4% and 136.8% year over year, contributing to around 42.1% of total revenue. For PUF-based security IP, licensing revenue increased 443.2% year over year, about 0.4% of total revenue. For MTP technology, the licensing and the royalty revenue declined 42.6% and 15.2% year over year, accounting for 4.6% of the total revenue. If we break down royalty by 8-inch and 12-inch wafers, 8-inch wafers, which accounted for 64.1% of the royalty, decreased 1.2% sequentially, but increased 22.7% year over year. Royalty from 12-inch wafers contributed 35.9% of the royalty, decreased 1.2% sequentially, but increased 109.4% year over year. Regarding customer product table, 115 product tables were completed in Q2, up 10.6% from the previous year. This shows the persistent design activities of customers with our IPs. We will provide more information in the management report that will be released later today. In the next section, I would like to address our future outlook. We expect the growth of the revenue to continue in the second half and beyond. For licensing revenue, the main contributors to our revenue are still NeoBit and NeoFuse. Due to the increasing advanced technology platforms and the more comprehensive PUF-based security IP, we anticipate the licensing from NeoFuse and the NeoPUF will continue to grow. For royalty revenues, we expect 8-inch wafers royalty to regain momentum due to the 2 to 3 times PMIC content increase in 5G smartphones. In addition, we have developed various automotive grade process and expect the EV automotive sector will drive further growth momentum of production royalty for 8-inch wafers platform. 12-inch royalty will continue to grow as more than 300 tables for various applications in the pipeline ready for production, which include TDDI, OLED, TCON, ISP, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, TWS, switch, set-top box, video processor, SSD controller, IoT security processor, digital power, DRAM, and others. For new application development, our new applications are centered around the development of PUF-based technology. As mentioned before, the PUF-RT was adopted by customers in IoT platform, AI training modules, blockchain, FPGA and industrial automation applications to ensure data security and increase attack resistance ability. Apart from PUF-RT, our PUF-IoT is also well developed and engaged with customers is ongoing. Aside from our development efforts, our collaboration with Arm to embed our NeoFuse in its security platform, which already has customer adoption and has entered the production verification stages mostly. contribution from the development mentioned above will be seen this year. For the new technology development, in addition to 5 nanometer technology platform, MRAN, RERAN, and the ARM security IP platform, which we mentioned in previous quarter, we are developing 6 nanometer and 5 nanometer plus technology with our leading foundry partner, and have already demonstrated 6 nanometer silicon results successfully, while the 7 nanometer has been adopted into automotive application. Second, we are developing new security IPs after the completion of PUB TRNG, that is a published true random number generator, and the PUB RT, that is the PUB based root of trust, or PUB based IoT security solutions, security elements, and the hardware security modules, IPs, are also under development. Lastly, we are in the process of creating an open platform. This open platform focuses on PUB-based hardware security by integrating OTP, PUF, security function IPs, and the cryptographic algorithm IPs to provide total security solutions for AIoT and 5G applications. Despite the global pandemic, the needs for increased performance yield and security continue to create strong and sustained demand for our IPs. I would like to thank all our employees for their efforts in continual success in penetrating new markets and maintaining our position in existing market. With that, I will conclude my presentation on our operating results and the future outlook. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Shen. Now I would like to invite Chairman Dr. Charles Xu once again to give an introduction of NeoPUF's quantum tunneling mechanism. Dr. Xu, you may go ahead.
Okay, so in the following section, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the mechanism of quantum tunneling to form our neo fuse, and also by using the neo fuse to form our neo path. Please turn to page 23. Here I will explain the mechanism of our neo fuse. We invented the neo fuse transistor. The programming mechanism is to apply voltage just high enough to generate a tunneling current path in the gate outside, and we call this current path quantum tunneling. And as shown in the figures, we take the neo fuse transistor and we apply the voltage, and on the right hand side of the figure you can see there's a path from the gate to the substrate and after the programming. So if we want to, and we call the cell after programming, the data is 1, and without programming is 0. So only the cell with the programming voltage applied to it, it will see the tunneling path. But on the cell without applied the voltage to it does not have the tunneling path. So by doing this, we can differentiate 1 and 0. And so when we want to store the data into this our neo fuse, then you can apply some of the cell, you apply the voltage, and some of the cell you don't. Then you will get your data stored in our neo fuse. And in the page 24, I will explain what does it mean by quantum tunneling. Okay, so in the page 24, on the left-hand side of the figure, it is the physical structure of the outside with many defects in the upper figures and without defects in the lower figures. The figure on the right is the corresponding energy band diagram. And from semiconductor physics, we know the defect in the outside is a trap. And in the corresponding band diagram, it is a quantum well. So if you have many quantum wells in the oxide, it will facilitate the electron to tunnel from one well to another, such that the electron can tunnel from substrate to the gate and contribute to the tunneling current. And for the, in the lower figures, if the oxide without defects, it is very difficult for electron to tunnel from the substrate to the gate. And if you look at the energy band diagram, the electron has to surmount a huge energy barrier in order to get over the oxide and reach the gate to contribute any currents. So in such case, consequently, it generates very little tunneling current. So, and once the trap or the defect is generated by the high voltage stress, it is very difficult to recover. And from literature, it shows that the broken silicon oxygen bond needs at least more than 600 degrees C to recover. Therefore, the program number created by this mechanism is very stable. It is resilient to voltage variation, temperature variation, noise, and the aging effect. So that's why when we have so many customers use our NeoFuse in their chips, and none of them have any issues, because once the OTP they use, the NeoFuse they use in their chips, there's no issue occur, because the NeoFuse, once you store the data, program the data into it, it is very stable. Okay, after explaining the tunneling mechanism, let's turn to page 25. So, as I mentioned that the quantum tunneling is a programming mechanism in NeoFuse, so it is known for its reliability. So data will stay there much more than 10 years. And also, because its mechanism is quantum tunneling, so it is not visible, and it's not traceable, because it is very difficult to trace what the bond breaking in the silicon dioxide. So it will become the perfect for the secure storage, because it's invisible and untraceable. And in contrast to the E-fuse, which is it's the traditional method for the one-time programmable storage. And you can see that the mechanism of E-fuse is when you want to program the data into the E-fuse, you have to burn out the fuse and to establish one. So in such a circuit, you can see in page 25 on the right hand side, you can see that we compare the unprogrammed E-fuse and the programmed E-fuse. You can see that in the programmed E-fuse, there's a very clear mark, the broken of a metal line there. So it is the traceable and also visible if you do the reverse engineering, and that will cause the data leakage. So it is not safe to store the data in the E-fuse. And please turn to page 26. So now if we take the two NeoFuse as a pair, okay, then apply the voltage on their gate in parallel. So when the voltage is high enough, we will see the oxide with more defect will generate. With more defect generated, will begins to have higher tunneling current. And the oxide with fewer defect generated will have less tunneling current. So every time when we choose a pair of NeoFuse transistor to compare the tunneling current during high voltage stress, we will always see one of them, either the left one or the right one, having higher tunneling current. So it is like tossing a coin. You never know which side will turn up. So by looking at the page 26, the figures in the middle, so you can see by applying the voltage to a pair of NeoFuse, you will see the probability of tunneling occur in the left-hand side is the same as the probability occur in the right-hand side. Both are 50%. Okay, so in such case, so when the tunneling occur on the left-hand side, we will define it as 1. And the tunneling occur on the left-hand side, we will define it, right-hand side will define it as 0. So as our neural path was based on the natural randomness of the oxide quality, so we amplify the variation in the oxide and transform them into digital signal, so which become the unique fingerprint for chip itself. So in summary, our neural path is built on the foundation of our neural fuse technology and share the same quality of reliability, invisibility, and the non-traceability. Since we have many neural fuse platforms already, so that means we have also many neural path platforms that are available and are ready to be used. So neural path is the one and the only one produced using quantum tunneling mechanism. And this is something no other competitor or any newcomers can do and to catch up with. So I think our new PUF technology will dominate the world's PUF technologies. Okay. So in the next, I will explain how we use the neo fuse and the neo PUF to build the hardware root of trust, because hardware root of trust is the most important fundamental element in the hardware security. So if you can look at the page 27 and the 28, okay, a rule of trust must ensure that the secret key is stored in a manner that cannot be detected and is not susceptible to reverse engineering, and such that it can guarantee the safety of the data. And the rule of trust is therefore the key component that protects the storage of system data and maintain its integrity. So our PUF RT solution, PUF rule of trust, PUF-based rule of trust solutions leverage our neo PUF and the neo fuse technology to establish a rule of trust, a robust rule of trust. So how do we do it? First, we extract a unique number from the neural path for the chip. Okay, so first we extract the unique number from the neural path for the chip. So that becomes the unique ID, and essentially it is a digital fingerprint for the chips. And this unique ID is then stored within our neural fuse, so where it is remains securely and free from detection and the threat of reverse engineering. So for key generation, okay, any key you want to generate based on this hardware rule of trust, which the key generation is crucial for coding and decoding sensitive data. Coding, decoding means encryption and encryption. Okay, decryption and encryption can be executed through the combination of the unique ID and the two random number generator. And the keys are securely protected from the physical tampering in the embedded secure neural fuse OTP. And this helps solve the major security problem the chip designer faces. Okay, so in summary is we extract the secret from the neural path, and because it's a random source, so nobody know what the number is extracted, and then we store this number, we treat this number as unique ID, and then we store in the neural fuse, and in neural fuse it is untraceable and it is invisible. So this is is the rule of trust. And then for the future, any keys, you based on this rule of trust, you generate the additional keys. Okay. But so when you use the key outside this region, is those keys which is not the original unique ID or the fingerprints. Okay. So the rule of trust based on NeoFuse and the NeoPUF has many outstanding features. In particular, easy of use, high speed, and low power utilization, and the low cost. Before the availability of our rule of trust solutions, a customer need to incorporate at least three IP vendors IP. For example, the OTP from one vendor, PUF from another vendor, and the TRNG from two random number generator from another vendors. So use this three IP to into their design, and or use very expensive external hardware random number generator. So consequently, we have a strong conviction that our PUF-RT will become the future market leader due to its overwhelming competitive advantage. Okay, so this is about my introduction and explanation for the quantum tunneling PUF.
Thank you, Dr. Xu. We now begin the question and answer session. If you need to raise a question, please submit your question in the input box on the webcast window, and you will enter a queue. We are now going to collect questions, and we'll reply you in a minute. Please stay with us.
We have a question from the guest. Please provide some example of new NeoPUF customers and which specific type of NeoPUF product is driving the development.
Okay, regarding the NeoPUF customers, here I would take two cases as an example. One of our customers use NeoPUF for the MBIoT, that is for the interconnect application. The another customer used the NeoPUF for the FPGA application. So I think that is a very good example for everyone to know that the NeoPUF can be used for interconnection and also for the FPGA and the other security related applications. So for the another question is, which specific type of NeoPUF product is driving the development? Well, I think the NeoPUF is just the provider the randomness, the random numbers for security IPs. So the security IP based on NeoPUF can enable some use cases. As we mentioned that the PUF-RT, that is the root of trust, that is based NeoPUF to generate the UID and the key storage related usage. And then now we also derive the PUF IoT so that we can embed the CPU inside so that customer can use it based on PUF to encrypt and to decrypt the data. So we think there are various applications which will drive the NeoPUF usage in the near future.
Okay, I can add some more comments. Now we have the customers use the NeoPUF alone, but also we create some additional function to create the so-called PUF rule of trust. That's our second IP related to PUF. And for PUF rule of trust, as I mentioned, inside the PUF rule of trust is NeoFuse, NeoPUF, and to random number generator. I think basically customers very interested on using this one as their for their solutions because it provides a rule of trust functions. Okay, so currently a lot of customers request on this, and we also have a promotion we call IP Go, which you can customer can freely download our PUF RT and to do their simulations. Okay, so we do have a lot of requests on this. And another third IP is we call it PUF IoT. So PUF IoT is PUF RT plus all the cryptographic functions. So the cryptographic functions, because PUF RT is to generate a key, right? And the cryptographic is to use the mathematical method to, by using the key generated by PUF RT to encrypt all the data or decrypt all the data and also do all other signature functions, authentication functions. So that's our third PUF related IP. And of course, we just recently complete this IP and it's already have customers interested in it. And the another one will be, we call it the PUF SE, is the PUF secure element, which is under development. So I think we will have various of customers, and I think the requirement from them is basically based on they are interested mainly on our PUF, but they would like to also ask us to give them the solutions. So actually in the future, we are not the only IP providers, we also the security solution providers. Okay, thank you.
Another question related to the PUF. It's regarding how will the revenue model work for new PUF related new IPs?
Okay, regarding the revenue model.
So it's basically just additional revenue stream. For example, one customer, we license the new IP, like the PUF RT. We will have two royalty. Okay, one royalty through the end chip company, which is like collect royalties through the chip company. And when they go to production, we will have the royalty from the fab, which is the foundry. So this create additional royalty stream for the e-memory.
As a reminder, if you need to raise a question, please submit your question in the input box on the webcast window and you will enter a queue. We will collect your questions and we'll get back to you in a moment. Please hold on. As a reminder, if you need to raise a question, please submit your question in the input box on the webcast window. We will collect your question and we'll get back to you in a moment. Please hold on. As there are no further questions, we will now begin closing comments. Dr. Shi, please proceed.
Okay. So with 20 years of innovations, eMemory continues to develop the foundational semiconductor technology, which help our customers to speed up their technology development and improve their chip performance. We hope to use our innovation to ensure all online activities are secure. And this is our company's vision, embedded everywhere and secure everywhere. Once again, thank you for your patience and the support for eMemory. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. You may now disconnect. Goodbye and have a good day.